He was a premeditated murderer. He was an adulterer. He was a bloody man. He is remembered as a true sinner. He had at least 8 wives. He had terrible family difficulties. His son raped his daughter. One of his sons killed another of his sons. Another son was killed in an armed rebellion against him. And in a power struggle for his kingdom, another son had another son killed to get him out of the way so he could take over the kingdom. He was not allowed to build the temple, the house of God, because he was a bloody man of war. He was a man after God's own heart. Certainly, we all understand we're talking about David here. And this is the title for today, David, a man after God's own heart. So we might ask ourselves, why was David a man after God's own heart? When he did all of these things, what made him a man after God's own heart? Well, today we're going to answer the question, why was David a man after God's own heart? And in doing so, how we might also understand how that we might also be someone after God's own heart. When we research it, we realize that there's more written in the Bible about David than any other person in there. Even Jesus Christ, there's more written about David than even Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Romans chapter 15. This is a key verse for us to start out with. Romans chapter 15, we'll start reading in verse 4. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. As we look at the example of David and ask, why was he a man after God's own heart? Starting in verse 4, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that the Old Testament and these examples were written for us. We see that we can use them to be unified, that we can unify us as we look at these examples and make our lives better. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 13 when we start to take a look at David and his example. 1 Samuel chapter 13, and we'll start in verse 13. And we understand the context here is Saul has been king, and Saul has done foolishly, and his kingdom is going to be no longer, and it's going to be given to someone else. 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 13. And Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandments of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord will have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." The Nelson Study Bible in reference to this says, "This is God's description of David, a man with many faults, but a man whose spirit was sensitive to God's will." So we might ask ourselves that question. What does it mean to be someone after someone else's heart? Well, we might think of the word relationships, and we have relationships with people. We might think of our children. We might think of our parents. We might think of a spouse, or we might think of a close friend, someone that we can start to understand a little bit better what it means to be someone after someone else's heart. A relationship. Clearly, David had a relationship with God, even from the beginning. Not just when he became king, but clearly, as we'll see, he had a relationship from God even as a youth, long before he was king, long before he was famous. Let's take a look at 1 Samuel 16. We're in 1 Samuel, a couple of pages over. And we'll see the choosing of David, 1 Samuel chapter 16. Let's start in verse 11, and the context is Samuel is here at Jesse's home. he's looking to ordain and anoint the new king. Jesse is bringing in his sons. Samuel says, well, bring your sons in and we will see which one God chooses. So Samuel brings the one in that he thought would be the one that would be chosen. And Samuel said no. And he brought in another son, and he went all through his sons. Finally, verse 11, we'll pick it up in verse 11, chapter 16. Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? Then he said, there remains yet the youngest. And there he is, keeping the sheep. No one thought it would be David. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for he is the one. Samuel took out the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Clearly, David had a relationship with God. And we see this choosing of David. We see not choosing because of his appearance. We see God doesn't look on a man for his appearance, but God looks on our heart. God looked on David's heart. We see this choosing of David. David was anointed king, and we see the Spirit, God's Spirit, coming upon him, working with him, opening his mind up, exercising that Spirit. We might stop and reflect on the Holy Spirit being given to us at baptism when we have the laying on of hands. The Holy Spirit opens our minds, helps us to understand God, helps us to understand God's word, his way of life. David was unimpressive on the outside, but clearly he had something that got God's attention on the inside. And David had a relationship with God. David sought the heart of God. Psalms chapter 42, verse 1 states, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. This is one of the hymns that we sing. So what does it take to have a relationship with God? And what was that relationship with David built on? We might ask, what are the reasons that David was a man after God's own heart? And if we were to give everyone a test and say, well, write down the reasons that you might think of, you might come up with varied reasons, and they would probably all be right. But I picked out a few myself of what some of them we might not automatically think of, but some reasons that David was a man after God's own heart. And we see different clues in the Bible. And a lot of the clues we can see from the writings of David, actually from his own words. So I've picked six reasons why David was a man after God's own heart. Let's start out with the first one that I chose. The first reason was that David had a deep desire to do the will of God. He was obedient. David loved God's law. Despite his lapses, David wholeheartedly sought God's will. And in spite of the fact that he had failures, he remained faithful to God, even to the point he was called the psalmist of Israel. And when we look at the thoughts of David, and when we look at the relationship he had with God, we can see some of that through the writings and his words. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 1. We're going to spend a good bit of time in his writings in the book of Psalms today, because that's going to give us clues as to what his thoughts were and what this relationship was built on. David had a deep desire to do the will of God. Psalms chapter 1 and verse 6. Psalms chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Interestingly, this word meditate, my margin states, ponders by talking to himself. Do we think about, ponder, talk to ourselves about God's law throughout the day? Verse 3, once again, David's words. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. And they knew what that word was. When we think of chaff, it was an agricultural society, and they would bring the grain into the threshing floor, and they would thresh it, they would beat on it, they would take that hard outer trashy shell off of the grain, and then the wind would blow, and it would blow the chaff away. Either that, if there was no wind, they had a fan, and they would take that fan, and they would blow the chaff away. Verse 5, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Verse 6, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 101 as we read more of David's words, and we can see David's thoughts through the Psalms that he wrote. Psalms 101, we'll start reading in verse 3. David had a deep desire to do the will of God. Psalms chapter 101, starting in verse 3. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. And drop down to verse 6. My eyes shall be on the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He who works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who tells lies shall not continue in my presence. This was David's thoughts. Let's turn over to chapter 119 of the book of Psalms, the longest chapter in the Bible, as we continue looking at some of David's thoughts. We'll start in verse 10 of Psalm 119. David had a deep desire to do the will of God. Verse 10. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. He had a relationship with God. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all of the judgment of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies. As much as in all riches, I will meditate on your precepts. Here's that word meditate once again. And contemplate your ways. Do we stop and meditate? Do we stop and contemplate God's ways? Verse 10. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Even though David struggled at times, he had a deep desire to do God's will. Let's continue on in verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. We see some of David's true feelings coming out. Verse 47, and I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. My hands also I will lift up your commandments, which I love. I will meditate on your statutes. Drop down to verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. And interestingly, we sing some of these hymns. Verse 104. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. And verse 113. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. David loved God's law. David knew that God's law was the way to true happiness. When we review the whole chapter here, we see that David loved peace, that he loved comfort, he loved encouragement, and God's law brought all of these things. David delighted in God's law. When we think about Jesus Christ loved the law. Jesus used and quoted God's law often. John 4, verse 34, talks about to do the will of him who sent me. Words from Jesus Christ. Matthew 23 and verse 13, he warned the scribes and the Pharisees over and over again, called them the abusers of the law. David knew that following the will of God was the only way to bring true happiness. Matthew 26, verse 42, states, "Your will be done." Are we prepared to walk the walk, to do the will, and to walk through the path that's laid before us? Are we striving to do the will of God? Do we strive against desensitizing our consciences? When we go out in the world all week long and Satan uses the world to bombard us with evil thoughts, do we guard against those thoughts and guard against our consciences being desensitized? Do we guard against being compromising? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we'll come back to the book of Psalms. Second Corinthians chapter 10, we'll look at some of Paul's thoughts here. We'll start reading in verse 3 of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for putting down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Matthew 7, verse 21 states, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." John 14, 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, simply keep my commandments." David had a deep desire to do the will of God. The second reason that I put down that David was a man after God's own heart was that David put God first. David put God first. Putting God first gives us the right perspective, gives us the right focus when we deal with life's difficulties, when we deal with our own shortcomings, when we deal with our challenges and our failures. We might think of the example of David when he was found in the cave with Saul. Here, David had been anointed to be the next king, but King Saul was chasing him, trying to kill him. David had the opportunity to take his life and could have done that. What did he do? He stated, "No, that's wrong." 1 Samuel 24. He stated, "Therefore, let the Lord be the judge." And even had an opportunity a second time, 1 Samuel 26. What did he state? "May the Lord repay every man for his righteousness and his faithfulness." David put God first, not his own thoughts or his own wants, but he put right and wrong first. Sometimes we see the humanity of our leaders, and this itself can be a trial. Sometimes we see the humanity of other people around us. Do we see past that? Sometimes even other church members. Do we see God working through human beings? God worked through and had a relationship with David, even with all the problems that he had. Sometimes things aren't just what we think they are and what they should be. When that happens, do we put God first? Do we focus properly on God? Well, let's look at some of David's last words in 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2. When we think of someone's last words, they're unique because they have nothing else to live for. When they know they're going to be dying, they're sincere. They don't have an agenda. So what they're saying is truthfully what's in their heart. So let's look at some of David's last words in 1 Kings chapter 2. What was he thinking about? What was he focusing on as he prepared to die? 1 Kings chapter 2. We'll start reading in verse 1. "Then the days of David drew near that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, 'I go the way of all the earth, be strong. Therefore prove yourself as a man, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, These are some of David's last words. His commandments, his judgments, his testimonies, and it is written in the law of Moses that you may prosper in all that you do whenever you turn. This was what was on David's mind as he prepared to die. Verse 4, that the Lord may fulfill his word which he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons take heed to their way and walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, he said, you shall not lack a man to sit on the throne of Israel. We're looking at some of David's last words as he instructed his son Solomon. So let's turn to the book of Proverbs and look at some of Solomon's words. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. We'll start reading in verse 1. These are now Solomon's instructions. Hear, my children, verse 1 of chapter 4, the book of Proverbs, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. This is what Solomon is now teaching. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget, do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. In all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace. We mentioned grace. Do we have a crown of grace? A crown of glory she will deliver you. When we think about grace and God's grace on us, it's having a relationship with him. And David had that. The Nelson Study Bible, in reference to this verse, states, as his father David had taught him, so the son now teaches his own sons, one generation instructing another. The call for parents to teach the things of God to their children. So David put God first. The third reason that David was a man after God's own heart was that David was repentant. David repented. He was truly repentant. Certainly David failed, but he was repentant. We can think back on the example of David and Bathsheba and all the failures that went on there. We can think about our failures. Zig Ziglar, and I'll quote him, states that failure is an event, not a person. We all say wrong things. We all do wrong things. Do we give others room to fail? Do we give others room to not be perfect? Do we give others room to repent? Do we hold on the wrongs long after God has forgiven someone? David failed on a regular basis, but he was able to forgive himself. David repented. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 51. When we think of a prayer of repentance in the Bible, this is profound. The whole chapter, we'll not go through the whole chapter, but these are some words of David's repentance. And as we read some part of this chapter, think about what David was feeling. Think about how he was repentant, truly repentant, a prayer of repentance. Let's start in verse 1 of Psalm chapter 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Verse 4. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. David was repentant. That you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Verse 7, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. David is asking for forgiveness. Verse 8, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, a psalm of repentance. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Verse 11, do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. David was aware how the Holy Spirit was working with him. David wanted that Holy Spirit. Verse 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Now this last verse that we read to me is just profound. And what is it saying here? Forgive me, God, because I'm going to be an example for you to help convert other people. Forgive me, then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Very powerful. Do we allow that to happen in our lives? Do we allow that relationship with God and us to the point that even our faults, when we are forgiven, our example, the way other people see us, that draws them to God and they might be converted, or God could use us as tools to help convert other people. So we see this psalm of repentance written by David. David was able to accept God's forgiveness and forgive himself. Chapter 25 of the book of Psalms. Once again, continuing to read some of David's words here. Chapter 25 and verse 11. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. And that's what David thought about himself. That's how he felt. He knew that he needed cleansed. He needed to repent. So we think of repentance, we understand that that encompasses conversion, and not only conversion, but the conversion process, because conversion is a process. It's never ending. So when we fail, we must repent. So when we think of why David was a man after God's own heart, David was truly repentant. Even though he sinned greatly, he was truly repentant. The next item that I chose was that David gained strength and encouragement from prayer. David had a love for prayer. He communicated with God. He talked to God through prayer. He depended on prayer. Do we depend on prayer also? Psalms chapter 116. Psalms chapter 116. Is prayer important in our life? We'll start in verse 1. Psalms 116, verse 1. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. Prayer was important to David. Psalm 145, a few pages over, in verse 18. Psalm 145 and verse 18. We see that prayer and that strength gained through prayer helped through David through his difficulties. 145 and verse 18. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. So we see that David depended on prayer. He prayed often. He talked to God. He conversed with God. And that helped him through his difficulties. Philippians chapter 4. The first message this morning, turn to the book of Philippians. We're going to turn to verse 6 of Philippians chapter 4. We can hold our place back in Psalms. We'll be back there. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds through Christ Jesus. Very powerful. So many times when we look at prayer and thanksgiving, they go hand in hand together. When we think of prayer, it's a source of peace. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 states, pray without ceasing. If everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ on you or for you. So do we depend on prayer? Is it vital to us? How does our day go if we get up in the morning and go about our activities and we haven't prayed? If we forgot to pray or something just got in the way or we got distracted, how does the rest of the day go for us? We see Jesus prayed. Jesus depended on prayer. He prayed for strength. Jesus prayed for unity over and over again. One of the things that he prayed a lot about was for unity. We see his thoughts as he looked ahead to his crucifixion. He prayed for unity for us. He prayed before his crucifixion as he looked ahead. He stated, if this cup cannot pass from me, unless I drink it, your will be done. He prayed to God the Father, constantly talking to God the Father, depending on prayer. Do we gain strength and encouragement from prayer? So when we look at the reasons why David was a man after God's own heart, we realize that David gained strength and encouragement from prayer. The next reason that I put down that David was a man after God's own heart was David put his trust in God. He had faith. We might think back of the example when David was a young adult, when he slayed Goliath as a young adult or a young boy. David knew that God could be trusted and obeyed unquestionably. He had that relationship with God. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 25. We were in Psalms chapter 25 earlier. We'll start reading in verse 1. Psalms chapter 25. We see that David was strengthened by that trust. Psalms chapter 25 and verse 1. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truths and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all of the day. When things really looked bad for David, even as king, when everything was going wrong, when the Amalekites invaded and took everything, David strengthened himself in the Lord, 1 Samuel 30. What did he do when he lost everything? He was strengthened by that trust. And then after putting that trust in God, then he was able to deal with the problems at hand, the problems of the land, the problems that he had with the different difficulties there. Psalms chapter 56, as we get more insight into David's words, Psalms chapter 56, starting in verse 1. David put his trust in God. He had that faith. Psalms chapter 56 and verse 1. Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day. For there are many who fight against me, O Most High. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God I praise, I will praise his word. In God I will put my trust. I will not fear what can flesh do to me. And dropping down into verse 9. Let's start in verse So how do we deal with difficulties? How do we deal with family matters? How do we deal with job issues? How do we deal with money problems? Whatever problems we might have, do we first trust God? Do we put God's trust and realize and focus on God's trust that He helps us through these issues? Psalms chapter 31. Psalms chapter 31. We'll start reading in verse 9. Psalms chapter 31 and verse 9. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye wastes away with grief, yes, my soul and my body. For my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones waste away. I am a reproach among my enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and I am a repulsive to my acquaintances. Those who see me outside flee from me. I am forgotten like a dead man out of mind, talking about the people he knew, the people who were around him. I am like a broken vessel, for I hear the slander of many. Fear is on every side when they take counsel together against me. They scheme to take away my life. Verse 14. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say you are my God. David trusted in God. Do we ever feel like this when we've had a bad day, a bad week, a bad year? But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. Chapter 40 of the book of Psalms. We'll read verse 4. Psalms chapter 40 and verse 4. Blessed or happy is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. God wants us to find trust in him. We might think of the examples throughout the Bible. We could name ourselves the example of Gideon, the example of all of the walls of Jericho falling down, the example of Gideon where God said, you have too many people. No, you still have too many people. And the walls of Jericho and being overtaken with no bloodshed at all. Just example after example of trust that we should have in God. Proverbs 3 verse 5 states, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. So we see David trusted God through his trials, as he was going through his trials, as he was going through his difficulties. He trusted God. Do we trust God even though it seems sometimes that no good can come from our trials? Even our most difficult trials, do we have that trust in God? We have many trials that we go through. Sometimes they're very difficult when we have health issues or money issues or family issues. Sometimes the answer is no, or God wants us to go through these trials or walk through this trial. We certainly see today David's example, but even Job, if we look at his difficulties, the example of Paul and everything that he went through, and he prayed to God for relief, and his answer was, my grace is sufficient for you. Do we trust God? Do we put our burdens on God? Do we put him in the picture and focus on him? Do we try and fight our battles alone? Do we sometimes give God our burdens and then go back and wrestle our burdens back away from him? Go grab our burdens and gather them back up once we've handed them over to him? Do we have that trust and that faith? We see that through David's writings, his tears and struggles that he went through. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 56. Psalms chapter 56. Mr. Wendt mentioned this verse and this point last week when he was talking about our names being written in the book of life, Psalms chapter 56 and verse 8. You number my wanderings, you put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? David's telling God, you number my wanderings. You know where I've been. You know what I've been through. You know the difficulties, the trials that I had. You put my tears into your bottle. Now, David knew what this meant, but this actually was from a little tear bottle. And you can look these up on the internet. The name for these, and I'll just spell it, is L-A-C-H-R-Y-M-A-T-O-R-I-E-S. You can Google that term, and it's simply a tear bottle. They're little small vials, and they're bottles that were used for tears. People would take them when they were sorrowful, such as at a funeral, and they would gather their tears up. So many of the old tombs or coffins that have been dug up have these old little tear bottles in them. And they would gather their tears, and they would put them in the coffin, or they would pass a little tear bottle around, and people would put their tears as they mourned this person that died. This was a tradition. And this represented the sorrows of the family and the friends of the person. Many are found today. You can go on the internet and buy these little tear bottles. That's what David was talking about. Think about our tears in God's bottle. And think of all of the rivers of tears from the beginning of time until now. And what is David saying here? You put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? Are they not recorded so they won't be forgotten? Continuing on, when I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. For this I know, because God is for me. In God I will praise his word. In the Lord I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do? David trusted God. So where is God going? Where is God when we are going through trials? Those who trust God will find strength. God is with us, holding our hand as we are going through trials. Christ was strengthened by that closeness, that trust of his Father. He was crucified knowing, trusting that he would be resurrected. So when we look at David, we see that David put his trust in God. The last point, or the last reason that I have that David was a man after God's own heart, is simply that David praised God continually. David saw the importance of praising God. Do we see that importance? In times of difficulties, David would write hymns. He would sing hymns. He would praise God. Many of those hymns are recorded for us. When we sing these hymns, do we think about the words as we sing them? Let's turn to Psalms chapter 59 and look at some of these verses. Psalms chapter 59. David praised God continually. We'll start reading in verse 16. But I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning. For you have been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. To you, O my strength, I will sing praises. For God is my defense, the God of mercy. So when David praised God, when David sang, when he wrote hymns, who benefited? Was it God? Did God benefit because of David's praise? David benefited. He was the one who benefited from his praise. Psalms chapter 63. Speaking of David's praise, starting in verse 1. O God, you are my God. Early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. Psalms 119, verse 164 states, seven times a day I praise God. This was David's attitude. David praised God continually. He sang praises. He wrote praises. He talked to God and praised God continually. This was what his inner being was. This is how he felt. And this, he had this relationship with God. He was able to praise God continually. Psalms chapter 95, an example of his praise. Psalms chapter 95. We'll start reading in verse 1. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. And it's tremendous just to go through the book of Psalms and read the praises from David. Verse 3, for the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. So we see this example of his praise. Psalm 104, another example, verse 33. Psalm 104, verse 33. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be sweet to him. I will be glad in the Lord. May sinners be consumed from the earth and the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. We see David continually praising God. So why praise God? Why should we praise God? We should be thankful for all that he does for us. We should stop and meditate on all of the blessings and praise God for the blessings he's given to us. Once a year, we celebrate Thanksgiving, but we should be grateful and thankful to God for our blessings all year long. Do we stop and meditate on truly all of the good things that we have and all the good things that God has done? Psalms 100, verse 4, the ESV states, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. So as followers of Jesus Christ, we should follow David's example in giving gratitude and praise daily to God. Do we praise God continually? David stated he praised him seven times a day. Psalms 147, verse 1 states, praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. Do we take the time to praise God in our prayers? When we pray, do we praise God for what he's done for us? When we think of the reasons that David was a man after God's own heart, we realize that David praised God continually. When we think of David, we realize that one of the titles of Jesus Christ is the Son of David, and he's referred to him as that throughout the Bible. So why was David a man after God's own heart? David had a heart for God, and God had a heart for David. They had a relationship. So what does that mean? What does it mean to have a relationship with God? David had a deep desire to do the will of God. David put God first. David was truly repentant. David gained strength and encouragement from prayer. David put his trust in God. And David praised God continually. Let's turn to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. We'll start reading in verse 21. finish up in a couple of verses in the New Testament, Acts chapter 13 and verse 21. And afterward, they asked him for a king, so God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. Then when he was removed, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. From this man's seed, according to the promise, God raised up for Israel a Savior. And after John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John was finishing his course, he said, who do you think I am? I am not he, but behold, there one comes one after me, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to loose. So we see Jesus Christ called the Son of David. We should be striving also to be a person after God's own heart. This should be our character. Every day we should be imitating David in striving to be a man or a woman, a person after God's own heart. Why do we look at the example of David? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 for our last verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 11. We should all be striving to be a person after God's heart. Verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 10. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, on whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stand take heed, lest he fall. A warning to us. We should be striving daily to be people after God's own heart. We should be looking at the attitudes and the thoughts of David, that we might strive to have the same attitudes and be people after God's own heart. Well, throughout his life, David was continually tested, and he failed many times. But he had a good heart. David loved God's law. He knew it was how to have a happy life. He knew it was how to be blessed. David stated in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Chapter 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom should I fear? Psalm 121, I lift my eyes to the mountains, from where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. God wants to have an ongoing relationship with each and every one of us. We should never doubt God's love for us. Even though David was far from perfect and he stumbled, sometimes dramatically, God recorded David's mistakes so we can all learn from his example. God wants us all to be people after his own heart. What a tremendous blessing that can be. David is a role model for all of us. So when we look at the words God had preserved for us, we realize that David indeed was a man after God's own heart, and we can be also.